Well, open up anywhere. It's all good. How about Matthew? Eventually, we're going to be in Matthew 9. I'm not going to do a show of hands. Let me just say this. There is something, if you got to be deaf, dumb, and blind not to tell that there is a quantum shift going on somehow in the realm of the Spirit. These messages, I don't think it's just me, but if you have not seen what I call the hula hoop message, though what we really called it was higher thoughts and higher ways, that's one that has to be seen. I did my best, but I listened to it. Just listening alone, you're going to have a hard time really getting all of the truth that's in that message. There's a lot of visual demonstrations in it. But that was a few weeks ago. It's at Dave's website. It's at my website. It's at Ictus. But higher thoughts and higher ways. Then Wednesday night, the service that I did after I got back from Immokalee, that's going to be an important. I know what we called it. I am dwells in you. How many have not heard that message? Can I see a show of hands? That's not going to work from this point on. If you want to go with us into revival, I'm just telling you the truth. Dave has taught us for years that when you want roof answers, like real revival, we have roof questions. Lord, I want to know this. I want to know why this. And I want to know why not that. And he says, God has a hard time giving you those roof answers when there are no foundations and no walls already built in your understanding to support that. So we're coming into it. I think we're coming into revival. I believe quickly. I mean, what I mean is real revival, not the kind that you schedule, you know, starts Wednesday night at 7, ends. No, I mean the kind that's going to, the kind where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. And on a regular basis, and I mean until Jesus comes, nobody running off with the secretary, nobody running off with the money, nobody running off with the secretary and the money. I believe there's a harvest of Muslims, harvest of Buddhists. All they need to see is the living God. They just need to see who the real one is. And if we can be a part of showing them that, is that not worth laying your life down? I need these. I want these. I have roof questions. I want to get Tommy Perez. Here's a roof question. How do we get Tommy Perez, who lives in Long Island, he's 38 and he has cerebral palsy, has had since birth practically. How do we get Tommy out of the chair and in his right mind and standing here without a wheelchair and giving his testimony about how the Lord came into his room and healed him? That's my roof question. And if I need foundations and walls out the, or a whole lot of them, help me, Jesus. And if I need to listen to those messages of Dave's and whoever is ministering here 20 times each and praying in tongues until they become bone of my bone, so be it. So, well, I don't want to hear it again. Well, hear it again anyway. Until we can get Tommy out. For me, the litmus test is Tommy, because you'll never convince me that if Jesus himself somehow could walk in there with his own body and walk in there, you'll never convince me he wouldn't get Tommy out of that chair. I mean today. I don't think if Jesus showed up today, he would give Gary an attaboy. Well, I know you prayed hard. I know you had good intentions. He'd say, how long am I going to have to do this for you? Have I not made you a son of my Father? Have I not anointed you with the same Holy Ghost that I have? What is wrong with you? And I'm going, I don't know. He said, that's why I gave you the Holy Ghost. So he does know. He can pray in tongues around Dunce Head there. Earth Head. Communicate directly with your spirit until you get it. Yes, sir. Excuse me, I got to go pray in tongues. That's doesn't talk myself into it. It's important that we get every brick, every foundation stone, everything that we need to support these roof things that are coming. And I mean, it could be right away. Right away. How did Jesus say that? You can't really see the wind, but you can sure feel the effects of it. I feel a wind. There's a wind coming, people. Better get your sail up. Woo! All right, hallelujah. Okay. The purpose of that hula hoop message, the one that we call Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways. It's from Isaiah 55. I'm not going to teach it again today. It uses some really basic mathematical analogies to show us in a way that I'd never seen before how all things are possible. We are just so trained by our natural mind. We're so used to living in a natural world. We're used to the laws of what they call them, Newtonian physics, you know, Isaac Newton. When the apple falls, it falls every time. Dave does that with the wallet, you know. What's going to happen this time? It's going to fall. What's going to happen this next time? It's going to fall. How do you know? Well, it's a law. But see, that's laws in our three-dimensional world. But the laws of physics, of what we're calling now the realm of the spirit, where God lives and where you're from, the real you was birthed from that realm. That is home. That realm governs this realm when faith is applied. That realm governs this realm. That realm created this realm. Everything in this realm will bow, if you'll allow me, will bow. Now, that illustration is one of the best I've ever seen. Now, Wednesday night, he's having me go back to some training that he gave me even after the face-to-face days. How many of you remember the face-to-face? We've harped on that and taught on that and dissected that. But now he's going back to some things he taught me after that I just let slip. And you get so busy. That is Mark 4. You know what Mark 4 really is? He's going to steal your life with busyness and problems so you never walk in revival. In layman's terms, that's Mark 4. Either problems, persecutions, or just busyness, or just daily. That I call him I know that devil's name. His name is Samo. Every day, Samo, Samo. You know, I was going to have revival, and then day after day, and then one day you've got one foot in the grave. You're about to step down in there. You know what my mom calls? She's already paid for her coffin and all that. You know, she's 93. You know what she calls her coffin? She's already got. She's picked it out. It's pretty. She said that's her back to nature boudoir. You know how she lives to be 93? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's her favorite verse. A merry heart doeth good. She said that's my back to nature boudoir. I didn't bring it with me, but he had a word, a tongue and an interpretation at the Ohio conference. It came through me, and y'all know I don't do that often. He said, we're going to have to come up higher, come up higher. We're going to have to go above the teachings of well-intentioned men who love him, but they have been deceived by education, deceived by religion, deceived by this world, and they have not taught the things that are really taught by my spirit. So he says, come up higher, my children, and be taught by the Spirit that is from the same realm that you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's the higher thoughts and higher ways. Now, Wednesday night, so many of you were not here, at no additional charge, no additional offering, I'm just going to read this. I'm going to set you up. It's okay. How many of you are Spirit-filled Christians? Come on, raise your hand. I'm going to give an altar call right now. Would you say Spirit-filled means I am filled with the Spirit? Come on. Would you say filled with the Spirit is filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm getting a lot of hands. How many would say the Holy Ghost is God? So how many of you would say, I am filled with God? See, we use that little phrase, I'm Spirit-filled, Shandai Mahandai. I tie my bow tie. I like LaRue's. You should have bought a Honda, but about a Hyundai. You know, I'm spirit-filled. Hooray, hooray. Go to a nice church. We have fun. Yay. And you get in the room with Tommy. And it's war. Then the devils laugh. And I'm tired of them laughing. See? So, I want to read this because if we get this, it impacts, it changes your whole thinking when you say, I am filled with the Spirit of God. So I'll just read it. Oh, by the way, this document is available in PDF format right beside the teaching Wednesday night if you'd like to print it yourself. It's at ICTUS, Dave Roberson's website, Gary's website. God says, I am not fragmented as you perceive me to be. I am one. How many of you know there's only one God? You know, there's one. But he's manifesting himself in three ways so that we can understand him. So he says, I am not fragmented as you perceive me to be. I am one, manifested as three. As the Holy Spirit, I am that I am. As the glorified Son, I am that I am. As the Father upon the throne, I am that I am. The harvest of understanding to be reaped in this season is to know that in you, I am that I am. You would have trembled and quaked to have seen my power displayed from my presence carried in the Ark of the Covenant. Y'all remember the Ark? Remember? The old, I don't mean Indiana Jones. I mean from the Bible and the Old Testament. You know, they carried onto the battlefield the power. Did you know that's a type of you, a New Testament spirit-filled believer? Why do you think it's made out of wood? It's because of that body you're wearing. But God overlaid it with gold and filled it with three things. You remember what three things are in there? The Ten Commandments. I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. You've got them on the inside of you, you little Ark of the Covenant. How about the pot of manna? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the manna from God. If you eat this bread, you'll never die. But it's also a type of God's everyday supply for the rest of your life. Everywhere you go, his provision is already in you. Do not be afraid. Don't let mammon rule your life. You already got God's supply on the inside, and it will manifest on the outside. Good preaching, Brother Gary. I know I'm going to continue. Hallelujah. The other thing you got is Aaron's rod that budded. What is a rod? It's a stick cut off a tree. It's a branch. What happens to a branch cut off a tree? It dies. It's a type of the cross. But what happens at the cross? Jesus became our sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. Why? That we could be made the righteousness of God. He took our death so we could have his life. You are the rod that budded. You are that dead spirit that's been quickened to new life. And everywhere you go, there's power. God's presence dwelt in that ark. Type of the believer, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with God himself. The devil trembles when you walk in the room, but we tremble because we can't get Tommy out of the chair. That is about to change. The devils are going to quake and tremble when you wake up. What damage are they going to do to the kingdom today, to the devil's kingdom? How many blind eyes will open today? Oh no, the Christians are awake. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, he's trying to get it across to us. I want to read that paragraph again. It says, you would have trembled and quaked to have seen my power displayed from my presence carried in the Ark of the Covenant. You would have stood mute in awe as my wisdom was manifested unto Solomon when my presence dwelt in the temple made with hands. Why do you not tremble and quake and be in awe at my presence now dwelling in you? You are my temple, and I am that I am dwells in you. Hold out your hands. I double dog dare you. Hold out your hands. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? God is in your hands. I am that I am is in your hands. And you're not laying your hands on the sick. Why? How much is possible with God? God's in your hands, in your feet, in your mouth, when you talk. Okay. Wednesday night, I'm just hitting the highlights. None diminished is the word that I am once again speaking to your spirit this day, says the Lord. I am none diminished, but I dwell no longer in the Ark of the Covenant. I dwell no longer in a temple of stones made by human hands. I dwell in your reborn spirit, spawned from myself. I am that I am. It was from this understanding that Paul wrote the words, and by the way, he didn't tell me, but it's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now notice, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Man, that reminds me of a verse. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And he wants to do the same thing through each of you today. Isn't there a verse? Don't you wish there was a verse? The works that I do. Oh, it is in there. John 14. The works that I do shall you do also. We normally, and greater works because I go to be with the Father. Let's just stick with the first half for tonight, for today. What is this? Morning. Just say, I double dog dare you. Say it out loud. Say, the works that he did, I do also. The works that he did, I do also. I am a spirit-filled believer. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with God. I am lives in me. Everywhere I go, the power of God is manifested. The enemy trembles and quakes in fear. Because God has shown up. When I show up. I'm telling you. That's the truth. Now, you're not God. You got that? Jesus is our eldest brother in the family of God when it comes to his glorified humanity. He's the firstborn. He is the eldest brother. But you will never touch his deity. He is God. You are not. Now, we're sons of God. He birthed us. You got his nature, his life on the inside. But we're not gods ourselves. Okay? All right. He's not going to give you a little planet to rule. Well, anyway. Have respect and be in awe of the knowledge that I am dwells in you. Tremble and quake at my presence. Not that you should live in fear, but that you should give me honor and respect and be fully persuaded that what I say, I can do. Now, he's preaching to Gary. I hope he's preaching to you too. Every time I read that, I'm going to go pray for Tommy again. I'm tired of this unbelief. I may have to fast some more. How do you get rid of unbelief, people? Prayer center people? Through prayer and feasting. No? Oh, no, yeah, that's right. That E's not in there. Prayer and fasting gets rid of unbelief. It's the only thing keeping Tommy in the chair. I hate to say that, but it's true. I am that I am dwells in you. Give me the honor and the respect that I deserve so that I may flow more freely through you. Do you hear that? Why? Just because he likes to be worshipped? Well, he likes that, but that's not the purpose of this. If we don't have faith that he's in us, he's going to have a hard time flowing through us. You got that? Okay. Give me the honor and respect that I deserve so that I may flow more freely through you. Now have a fresh understanding of the heart cry of Jesus when he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Have newfound respect and awe for your Father who dwells in you. All things are possible unto me. I am that I am dwells in you. There's some more there, but I'm purposely not going to read it. And if you haven't heard it, then you have to go get it and listen to the message Wednesday. I'm just not as nice as God. I'm a teacher. I believe in homework. Did you ever turn to Matthew 9? You thought I forgot about Matthew 9. Go to Matthew 9. It's good to be home, by the way. I feel like I'm younger. I feel more energized. There's a spring in my step. It's because I've tapped into something here. I just know we're on the cusp of a new era. What we call miracles, God calls normal. They are miracles, the working of miracles. In this world, they are. But from the realm where God lives, it's normal, everyday, operating business. And He expects us for us to be that way, too. Get that thinking in our... We're children from that realm. Healing, miracles are supposed to be normal for us. We're ambassadors from the kingdom of God to a lost world. We should lock the doors and close all the windows because meetings like this are for aliens only. You truly are aliens from another world. Jesus said already, you're not of this world, just like He's not of the world. You're a gift, if you want to know the truth of it. You're on loan from heaven to minister His love and grace to a lost world for a temporary time, if Jesus tarries. We're going to look at this season now. We're going to be teaching more about the gifts of the Spirit, because that is the entry level normally for people. 1 Corinthians 12. What letter, what book is it where we have most of the information about the gifts of the Spirit? It's 1 Corinthians, right? Well, that's a wonderful thing because it should give you great hope. 1 Corinthians says about itself, this is a carnal, split, divided church. He says, I'd like to give you meat. I can only give you milk. You're little babies, you know. Yet in chapter 1, he says, yet you come behind in no gift. They were operating in the gifts. I used to say erroneously, by the way, if I don't correct myself as we go forward, I'm doing something wrong because I'm supposed to be learning. Well, I used to say erroneously, all you have to qualify for the gifts of the Spirit is be born again. No, you don't even have to be born again. I'll tell you right now. You can find every gift of the Spirit in the Old Testament except two, and that's tongues and interpretation of tongues. All the rest of them, I've done my homework. You can find every single one of them. You know what you got to be? Obedient. You got to be obedient. We're going to get to that. That's really kind of today's lesson. But the gifts of the Spirit, you qualify today. You can be, the working of miracles could work through you before supper. You understand what I'm saying? Word of knowledge, gift of healings. Yes, sir. Okay, I hold your place here in Matthew. We may get there. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just look at them real quick. May have been a while since you read it. We're going to look at the nine gifts. We'll just start in verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and that's capital S, and it should be capital S. The manifestations of the Spirit. This is one way that I am works through us, is by these gifts. And these can work through very immature, carnal, split, divided Christians. Now, the better way is love. Dave has taught on that. We've all taught on that. How many knows we need? Personally, I know I need to walk in a lot more love than I'm walking in. Okay? That is the better way. But he doesn't say, and forget the gifts. He says, no, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Yes, we're supposed to pursue the love of God with the same zeal that we pursue the power. But he didn't say forget the gifts. He said covet earnestly the best gifts, didn't he? So these are what we operate in while we're developing into love. And then we'll have even more. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to very few. Is that what your Bible says? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Sorry, women. Now you know that's a generic term. He means every person. It's given to every believer. In Christ, there is neither male nor female. I'm teasing. Okay, so this is you too. Just say it. Let's say it a different way so it'll impact your brain. God gives His gifts to everybody. Isn't that what it says? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What's the purpose? To profit with all, so that everybody can benefit. Okay? To profit with all. Now, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. We're not going to teach on these specifically tonight. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, for years, when I first started out, I thought this meant, well, some people only work in the word of knowledge. Other people only work in the word of wisdom. No, if you keep reading in context, he's headed up to chapter 14, where he's trying to set the church in order when they will come together, so that we don't have this group trying of tongues, trying to out-tongue that group over there, and I've got a word of wisdom. You think you've got a word of wisdom. I've got a word of wisdom. And they're like little kids. Now, he's setting the order for the service. In that service, he may use Mike and the word of wisdom and his wife. Carol, I know her name, but I'm not there right now. In the word of knowledge or the gifts of healing. In that service, he'll use one. I have operated in virtually all of these from time to time, and nearly every believer I know has. I've talked with Mike Banks. We've shared manifestations and others around. George is sitting over there, and man, our history only goes back, 30 years? Maybe 40? No, it's longer than that. 40 years? Good Lord. How old am I? What he's talking about at any given moment, you don't get to choose. Now, it is true that you'll find as time goes along, there are certain gifts that just tend to manifest more freely in one person than they do another. Okay? With me, there's several. Word of knowledge is pretty common with me. Another one is, there's hardly ever in my life been a tongue given in a service that I could not interpret. I don't, because he gave me instruction not to, unless he specifically tells me to, because that's something he uses to school the young. But it's just something, I am an interpreter. I normally know the interpretation of every tongue. It's just, you know. Other ministers that I've known, they may have a healing for cancer. It just seems to flow for them pretty easy. Another one might be hearing. Another one, that does seem to happen, okay, and I don't know why. But just staying strictly with Scripture, look at it again. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Let's say it this way. He can manifest God's power through every person every day. Now, in one service, he won't use... What he's trying to do here is not puff these people up any higher than... If he just picked one in that service and he did all nine gifts through that one, well, what's going to happen to that guy? But he's going to get all puffed up even more than he already is puffed up. And the problem is they were already puffed up. No, he's going to use this one and that gift today and that person and this other gift today and this person and this other gift today. And next week it might be totally reversed or be a totally other people. Big part of that, help us keep remembering, it ain't us. It's him, okay? It's him. But we have got to get our expectors turned up. Be candidates. I like to say, God, I am a candidate for the gifts of your Spirit, and I don't mean just in church services. I am willing to be embarrassed at Red Lobster, at Chili's, at Sam's Club, wherever, walking down the street. God, I'm a candidate. I don't care. We're going to look at some unusual things here in a minute. All right, verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith. And he's talking about the gift of faith by the same Spirit. That's different than your ordinary faith. When his faith comes on you, it's impossible not to believe. It's impossible. And you'll do crazy things that as soon as your mind comes back to you, you'll go, oh God, what did I do? Anyway. To another, the gifts of healing, plural, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, all of those, if we had time, and we may do it before this season is over, every one of those gifts you can find in the Old Testament. Every single one of them. More than once. Okay? These last two are only for our dispensation. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And that's really talking about a church service there, or let's say it differently, an assembly of believers. It could be a home service, okay? But it's usually at an assembly of believers, okay? But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to very few, What? Oh, dividing to every man severally as he wills. Okay. Now, we're just now starting today's lesson, so somebody throw a towel over the clock. Did you ever find Matthew 9? Okay. We're going to look at five blind men today. Five different cases where the Lord healed blind men. The purpose of this, I'll go ahead and tell you now, there are no formulas. Now, we have a blanket command. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? They shall recover. But in that process, we are sons of our Father who have been given the Holy Ghost. And in that process, we have developed ears to hear. And you're going to see that there is no set formula. It's different. Every one of these is different how Jesus did it. Well, no, I want one way. I want to spit and make clay every time and just do it that way. That's not how Jesus did it. It's not how we're going to do it. You're going to hear and obey like he would hear and obey. But, so let's look at them. Matthew 9, starting in verse 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Isn't that interesting? You think that's in there by accident? Just extraneous information? Remember that time when I was diagnosed with terminal melanoma cancer and they were giving me 6 months to live? Sue asked me the best question she could ask. What can you believe? Sometimes you got to locate people. Okay? You got to locate people. Jesus is locating them. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they gave the right answer. Yes, Lord. Then touched he their eyes. In this case, he touched their eyes, saying, he didn't just touch them and remain silent. He touched and he spoke and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man knows it. But they, when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. Well, you probably would too. I'm telling you, I was blind. I've been blind all these years. And this man, he touched my eyes and he spoke and I can see. So in this case, if you're taking notes, the two things that we have that Jesus did, what we're doing here, we're starting to lay a foundation. He's having me do this homework assignment right now, going through the Gospels again, finding what was it that Jesus actually did. And what I'm finding is he did not do anything supernatural himself. In this case, he touched their eyes. If you have fingers, hold them up. Okay, everybody in the room has fingers. You're a candidate. You're able to do this. How many of you can touch eyes? You have hands and fingers. Say, I can do that. I can do that. And then he spoke the word of commandment. How many have lips? Can you say words? Yes. According, say it. According to your faith. Be it unto you. That's what Jesus did. That's what you can do. It's the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. See, God, we're the agent of authority. We hear and obey. And it's not the same every time. This time he touched their eyes. Let's look at another one. Go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 22. Now here's another blind guy, but this is a whole different reason for this blindness. See, sometimes it's physical things. People are born sometimes without eyeballs. Well, I'm looking forward to that revival. Glory to God, you know. New eyeballs form on CBS, NBC, ABC, and the Fox News Network. Even your Muslims will start getting excited. They watch eyeballs form right there on national TV. All right? But see, this time it was something different. This wasn't a physical thing. So Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought unto him one, what? Possessed with a devil. Devils can cause blindness? Yes. And not dumb, not stupid, but not able to speak. They brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed them, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. So in this case, we're not given all the details on this one. I haven't finished my homework. I might glean more from the other three Gospels. But in this case, what was the problem? The guy was possessed with a devil. Well, if Jesus healed him, obviously, what did he do? Cast that devil out. How many of you know you've been given a word from God? I have given you power, authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. All authority and all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go preaching the kingdom of God. See? Amen? All right? So in this case, he cast out a devil. Say, Lord, I can cast out a devil. In your name, even the devils are subject to me. Hallelujah. See? Hallelujah. All right? Let's look at another one. This one's in Mark. Go to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to look at another one. He didn't touch this guy's eyes, that we were told anyway. If it's important, it would be in there. We're not told he touched the guy's eyes. In this case, he just cast out a devil. First time, it was a different situation. And you got to know. How will I know that? You're able to hear your Father. My sheep hear my voice. The Holy Ghost will tell you. Okay. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught or saw anything. And he looked up and he said, well, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up. I don't know how many years I read that without seeing that. And made him look up. And he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. All right, now this one's quite different. Number one, Jesus, for some reason, and I don't know, and we're not told why. We don't need to know why, apparently. Jesus, this time, he didn't heal the man publicly. He took him out of town. You notice that? He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I'm reminded recently of of Travis Klingman up in Washington State, not long before Pastor Dave and I went up there, and there was this crazy guy with a knife that was going to kill one of the associates of Travis. Everybody's afraid of this guy. He's wild and crazy on drugs and been in prison, and he's a bad guy. And so Travis sees him. The guy's got a knife in each hand. Travis says, get in the pickup. What? Yeah, put your knives in the back and get in the truck. Guy gets in the truck with him. Travis takes him way out in the desert, which isn't hard up there. Othello, Washington. It's mostly scrub brush. Way out where nobody can even see. Even this guy later, talking his testimony, he said, I didn't know if he was taking me out there so he could kill me or I could kill him. But there was going to be no witnesses. Travis knows why. He said, I wanted the man to show him. The man needed to know. I needed to show him I had no fear. Because my God is stronger than he is. Amen. End of the story. Travis could tell it much better than me. End of the story. That guy got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, serving in the ministry today. Okay, sometimes you got to take them out of town. I don't know why. I don't know why. But if Jesus says, put them in the car and take them out of town, you put them in the car and you take them out of town. Are we going to walk in the gifts or not? You get a prayer line. I mean, Tim, I'm promising you now, if I'm in a prayer line during a conference and God says, put that person in your car and drive out somewhere. That's exactly what's going to happen. And everybody else can wait. Or Tim or Bronk or whoever can finish the line, okay? We're going to get to where we hear and obey as sons of the living God. And if he says drive them out of town, bless God, we're driving them out of town. Okay. So he led him out of the town. Then what? He spit on his eyes. Come here. Come here. Stand. You want prayer, do you? Come right here. Pray. The guy's blind. He doesn't know what's coming. All of a sudden, you got a big loogie running down each eye here. Pray. The ones of you that weren't here, I'll go ahead and tell it at this point. I'm trying to learn how to do this myself. I didn't find out the end result till this year, but last year when I went to Ocala, Florida, little bitty church, prayed for a few people, and there was this elegant little lady, probably about my age, maybe a little older, snow white hair, every hair in place. She's just elegantly dressed, you know, just one of those little southern ladies that's just got it together and everything's right. You know, I can just imagine what her house, you know, everything's in its place and all of that. Anyway, she wants prayer. And she didn't ask me what for or anything, and you know, and I'm just praying for this when I'm praying for that when I get in front of her, though, and the gifts of the Spirit kick in. What do you mean by that? God said something. Sometimes it's a word of knowledge, sometimes it's a vision, sometimes it's other things. This time he says, stick your finger in her mouth. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's about my reaction right there. Now, on the outside, you're trying to be the man of God and give these people faith, right? You're trying to act like you know what you're doing. On the inside, let me tell you the conversation. God says, stick your finger in her mouth. I rebuke you, devil. What's wrong with that? Lord, I'm not going to put my finger in this woman's... I'm not sure that's God at all. God, is that you? Can that be you? You want me to do what? I'm not going to put my... What? Something like that was going on the inside. But on the outside, I looked like the man of faith, you know. So what was I going to do? I was going to ignore it. That's what I was going to do. I was going to go on to the next person. You know, I was going to ignore it like I probably have 1,000 times with other things. Don't look at me so weird. You holy hell outfit, you. A totally obedient outfit. I was going to ignore it. He said it again. So I'm half apologizing to this nice lady. And I said, I'm just trying to obey God here. I said, I hope this is okay. Do you want me to obey God? Of course, she didn't know what God said. Do you want me to obey? Yes, I want you to obey God. Okay. So I take my left hand and I put it on her little chin, sweet little chin. And I open her mouth. I take my right, with the finger, whoop, go right in there. And her little eyes went, you kind of, boing. And here, I'd like to say at this point, and the power of God fell. She fell on the floor. And she was totally miraculously healed, and $1,000 bills fell from heaven. Or whatever. I'd like to say stuff like that. You want to know what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all. I pulled my finger out after a little bit. I said, thank you. And I moved on to the next person and couldn't wait to get out of there. The problem of it is they always go to IHOP after that service, and she goes with us. She was real nice about it. We're there sitting having pancakes and eggs and talking about God, and there's about, you know, the whole bunch went. She's sitting two chairs. I'm sitting here. There's Sue, and there's that lady. And so I'm kind of apologizing again. I said, I'm just trying to obey God. I hope I didn't miss it, you know. And she said, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. She said, she's watching me eat. She says, but you might want to wipe the lipstick off your finger. Now, what I didn't know until this year. So I come back this year, and it happened to be graduation day. Everybody was having their graduation, and this lady had a granddaughter that was graduating either high school or college. I'm not sure, but she could not be there because it was right at the same time. So she sent a special offering for the pastor, Loretta Cole, and said, give these instructions. Be sure you tell Gary. What he doesn't know is, for 10 years, I have had chronic sores in my mouth. Since the time last year when he put his finger in my mouth and prayed, it's been reduced like 80%. Be sure and tell him. I'm happy about that. But on the way home, I'm asking God, why is there still 20% left? Lord, was I supposed to swirl? I'm glad I obeyed God. All right. We're trying to teach here about the gifts of the Spirit. So on that, in that case, he spit on the man's eyes, notice, and he put his hands on him. Then he asked him if he saw anything. I've seen Dave do that. I've seen him ask, can you feel any difference? Do you feel better? Can you see? Dave will say, he'll pray for their eyes. How do I look? Oh, you look really good. Oh, you're healed, you know. That's Dave. But in this case, the report wasn't perfect. He could see, but not like he should. It's not wrong to pray for them again. Now look, he put his hands on him again, and this time he did something different. And I don't know why. It says he made him look up. Now I could guess all these reasons why, but I don't know why. But if the Lord says, if you're in that line and you're praying, and he says, put your hands on him again, this time tell him to look up, that's all you need to know. In fact, he didn't. Look at it. He made him look up. He may have took his, I don't know how that happens. He may have took his head and tilted him, you know, gently. He made him look up. And then he was restored and saw every man clearly. Well, this is sure different. He didn't spit on the first guy's eyes. He didn't spit on the second guy's eyes. Let's do another one. Go over to Mark 10. How many of you got spit? If the Lord asks you to spit, can you? See, it's not a matter of can you, will you? Come here. Need prayer, do you? Come here. Okay. Mark 10, verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I love this next verse. And he, casting away his garment. Now, we're not teaching on that today. We're not teaching on the faith of blind Bartimaeus. That garment was his license to beg. It was issued for beggars. If you had that garment on, then it was legal for you to beg. But as soon as Jesus called him, before Jesus prayed, he's going, I'm not going to need this anymore. Tell me that's, boy, that's faith. Is that not faith? Whew, I like this guy. He, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? This is an amazing question. This is an amazing. Here the guy comes, probably being led by people, blind, yet Jesus asks, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? Man. Can't teach on that either right now. Jesus said, he says, Lord, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, only two things here that Jesus actually did. He asked Bartimaeus what he should do for him. And then secondly, Jesus simply declared his healing. He just declared it. Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I think, it's Gary thinking. I think Jesus saw him cast his garment away. That's what I think. And so Jesus said, this man has faith. Didn't need to spit on the guy's eyes. Didn't have to take him out of town. Didn't have to cast out a devil. Just declare, thy faith hath made thee whole. All right, go to John chapter 9. Y'all liking this? Can you tell there's no formula? Each case is different. Each case is unique. We have been trained diligently how to hear the voice of our Father. And as we minister, now we have a blanket command, all right? Go and heal the sick. Cast out devils. We have that command. But in that command is the leadership of the Spirit. I read a good book about that one time. What was the name of that book? Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power by Dave Roberson. Hallelujah. Okay, John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now this is about as bad as it gets. Born blind. We're not told why. Apparently he had eyeballs, or that probably would have been mentioned. But he was born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, now here he starts. Here he starts. When he had thus spoken, this time, he didn't spit in the guy's eyes, but he starts again. Spit on the ground, and spit enough to where he could make clay with the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And this time he says, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came again seeing. Now look at what he did this time. He spat on the ground. How many can spit on the ground? Let me see a show of hands. I want to see if we have real candidates. Can you make clay with the spittle? In Oklahoma, trust me. Man, we got clay in the ground here, okay? Now here's where most people won't do it though. Including Gary until recently. He anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. You do know that's not going to fly in most churches. You got that? This wasn't, I don't even know if this was in a church. I'll have to find out. I don't think it was. I mean, he's talking about, you could be at the park. You could be anywhere. And the Holy Spirit start talking to you like this. Then he spoke an instruction. Now how in the world would you, I mean, this is the formula. We make clay, we put it on the guy's eyes, and we tell him to go wash in a pool. Oh, come on, this is the fifth one. He never sent nobody to the pool before. How does he know to do that? He's hearing it from the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost you're filled with. Same Holy Ghost you're anointed with. Same Holy Ghost that brings you the mind of Christ, the will of the Father for every situation. We got to grow up. Start acting like who we are, where we're from, being about our Father's business and doing it the same way Jesus did. And it's not by some formula. Glory to God. He spoke an instruction. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And now notice, only after the guy obeyed that. I mean, everything could have happened right up until there, and he says, I ain't washing in no pool. And he ain't getting no sight either. See? Why is it important? I can just hear the theologians now. There's probably special water in that pool. Oh, come on. It's got nothing to do with the water in that pool. It has to do with obeying the voice of the living God. Amen. Obeying the voice of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen? So, only after in banks. So let me read these one more time. I'm going to just go through it again. In the first one we looked at, you don't have to go back. Matthew 9. There, he touched their eyes and he just spoke the word of commandment. The guy with the devil, he just cast the devil out. Just cast the devil out and the guy could see. The third time, he spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him. And then in this case, then he asked him how he was doing. He wasn't doing real well. So he put his hands on him again, and this time made him look up. I don't know how he did that. Made him look up. Okay? He didn't do that any other times. Then with blind Bartimaeus, he just simply said, he didn't touch him, he didn't spit, he didn't take the guy out of town. He did watch his faith. I think he saw him throw that garment away. And then he just said, it's all he said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You better get used to saying that. I think God's going to use you a lot in saying that. And then the last one, this time he spat on the ground. He made clay with the spittle. He anointed the eyes with the clay. He spoke an instruction that he had to have gotten from the Holy Ghost. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when the man did, he came back seeing. There is nothing in any of these five cases that we can't do. Jesus didn't do a single supernatural thing there that you cannot do with your hands, your fingers, your lips. You can do everything that he did. What we've got to do is learn the obedience that he walked in. And that's what releases the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's his word.